V'alkein, apotropos shemina v'yisaimim, therefore, an apotropos who is designated by the father, lo yishba, he's not required to swear if certain situations come up. Ki einoi choshud ala sheker. Why doesn't he have to swear? Because we don't suspect him of lying. Why? Ki meir boi ho emes bevadai, kemavur sham bahatoiranal. Because he definitely has the emes shining into him, as was explained in that chapter in the Kutiman. It said that when a person does these tikkunim the right way, then the three beams of emes shine into the four quadrants of dibur. We learned about it before, and that's what makes it the achdus haposhut from the pulois mishtanois. So if these tikkunim are done the right way, then we can trust that this apotropos has that emes. Shalidei toida halocha meir ho emes. Rabbein Azal had shown in that chapter in the Kutiman how through these concept of toida and halocha, that causes the emes to shine properly. V'alkein, me'achar shehabal nachlo bi'atzmoy minei l'apotropos, therefore, once the owner of this inheritance, you know, the creator of this inheritance, is the one who designated him, so certainly he has the emes shining in him regarding this item. Because once the father is the one who designated this person as apotropos, based on all the things he did in his life, in how he gave money to tzedakah to support Torah, and all the shezeh ikar tikkun anachlo v'amomo in shemisham kol abonim kanal, as we showed earlier, that's the main tikkun of money, and that's where the children come from and everything. Al kein bevadai kifi bechinosoi meir hoemes. Then certainly, to the extent that that father had emes, that emes is shining in this apotropos, in this executor, and he'll know what to do. We can trust him. Kialidei bechinas toido halocho, bechinas toimche oraiso, bechinas toiloda sabonim, aide kolze meir hoemes. Because we learned earlier, you know what we'll do? We'll hold it over here for now. Belina Hilchas Prikotina, halocha dalit, paragraph lamed aleph. We're in the middle of a discussion about the apotropos, the two types of apotropos. Apotropos is a guardian or a custodian that's appointed either by the example is a father who's writing up a will and he wants a custodian to execute the will and to see to it that all of his estate is handled properly by the kids and all the relatives, etc. That's one type of apotropos. Another type of apotropos is where the father didn't do this, and Bezdin is forced to designate a person to look after the yesoimim, you know, the orphans, and again, to administer the estate, you know, and divide it properly. Now, Rav Nosson Zal says, V'alkein, therefore, based on what we've learned earlier, we had learned that one of the things that we spoke about praising Hashem, and we spoke about Limud Halacha, we spoke about the Achdus HaPoshut and Pulois Mishtanois, and that one of the things that results from all of those things being done right is that the light of Emes gets turned on. We had mentioned that there's, in this chapter in the Likutei Moharan, Rabbeinu Zal quotes a pasuk where it says, Kael Elokim Hashem Diber. The pasuk wants to say that Hashem spoke, but it uses three names of Hashem. And Rabbeinu Zal shows in that chapter in the Kutiman that those three names of Hashem refer to the three branches of truth which must be put into a person's words, that the words should be truthful and effective, that the Dibur should be real Dibur. It's called Shloisho Kavei Emes, corresponding to the three judges that the Torah requires. The most basic court in the Torah is three judges, and many other items. So now, Rav Nosson Zal says, V'alkein apotropos shemino avi yisoimim, a custodian that was designated by the father of the orphans, lo yishba, is not required to swear if any situations come up. We trust him more. Ki einoi choshut al hasheker, he is not suspect of lying. Ki meir boi hoemes bevadai, because the truth is definitely shining in him properly. Kimavur sham b'hatoyra hanal, as was explained in that chapter in Likudimran, shal yidei toido halocha meir hoemes, that one who has their toido proper, and one who has halacha proper, this doesn't mean he's a poisik in halacha, but it means he's doing properly regarding the thanks of Hashem and regarding a type of learning of Torah that leads to maisa, to doing the actions properly. Such a person is zocheh that the truth shines for them in a wholesome way. V'al kein, me'achar shehabal nachlo bi'atzmoy minei ol apotropos. Once the owner of the estate is the one who designated this person to be the custodian of the estate, meir boi bevadai hoemes beinyin zeh, then regarding this particular estate, we say that this custodian definitely has the truthfulness that's needed, the honesty that's needed. Ki me'achar shehaniftar bal hanachlo bi'atzmoy minei ol apotropos kefi daitoy, kefi bechinosoy, kefi ma shezocho levara memoino elias loy chelek batoim choy raiso, sheze ikar tikan hanachlo v'amomoin shemishom kol abonim v'kanal. Rav Nosson says, because since this person who passed away, the owner of the estate himself, is the one that designated him to be the custodian, based on his level of understanding, based on where he was at, based on the extent that the owner of the estate acquired the estate. How did he acquire the estate? We learned that that was based on his kesher to being a supporter of Torah, which resulted in his wealth, which resulted in his children. So because all of these things are tied together, the children, the wealth, the support of Torah, and all of those were factors that fed into the creation of this estate, and the owner of the estate, who's the one who's shayach to all of this, he's the one that designated this person to be the custodian. Al kein bevatai kefi bechinosoi meir hoemes. Then relative to the owner of the estate, this custodian has the emes, the appropriate emes. Again, because we're saying that the way that an estate is acquired is based on a whole bunch of factors. The one that earned all of this money and left all of this money behind, there were different factors that fed into his obtaining the money. And some of those factors were toido, halocho, toim chayoraisa, those factors. So if he's the one who acquired all of that, and he chose this person to be his shliach, then we say this shliach is plugged in to the owner's bechina of emes well. Ki al yidei bechinas toido halocha, bechinas toim chayraisa, bechinas toile sabonim, aydei kol zeh meir hoemes. Because in that chapter in the Kutamran, Rabbi Nislav proves how these are the ingredients that cause the emes to shine properly. Bebechinas, as the Pasuk says, titein emes liyakov, chesed liavrohom. That the emes is dependent on chesed. And chesed is a nickname for supporters of Torah. Tumche Raisa is chesed. And also, hoylodo comes from chesed. Rabbi Nizal shows over there. It requires a chesed. The blood has to be nimtak. The taluchay sadamin. At first, there's a super gvura where the blood gathers together. And then at the time of Hoylodo, all of that is nimtak, the blood recedes and goes back to where it's supposed to go. That's a chesed. And the concept of korban toida is chesed. And halacha is chesed. Because the Gemara says that a person who prevents his student from serving him, it says, korban tamidu l'sham shoy, ke'ilu moinea mimenu chesed. A person who obstructs his student from serving him, it's like he's blocking chesed from the student. Now, when a student serves a rabbi, what item will he get most? The halacha. He'll get to know the halacha better than learning the Shulchan Aruch. The Gemara says, Godel Shimushi Shel Torah Yoyser Melimuda, that serving a Talmud Chacham is better than learning Torah. In one of the ways that it's better is simply, you'll get to learn the halacha better by seeing the movie, by seeing it performed, than by reading the book, than by learning from it. There's many details and many important points that can only get from seeing it. So therefore, here we see that if a person prevents his student from serving him, he's blocking him from chesed. And we said that student serving is halacha, so halacha is also chesed. So all of these things are called chesed, toim chayaraisa, hoylodo, halacha, and we said that emes is based on chesed. Titein emes liakoy, chesed lavron. To the extent that a person has his chesed in place, to that extent he can be trusted in terms of the emes. V'alkein, ein zeho apotropos choshud al sheker. Therefore, this apotropos who is designated by the father, he is not suspect. V'neemon b'lo shvua klal, and he's trusted without having to swear at all. Me'achar sheho avi abonim b'yatzmoy mineyu, since the father of the kids appointed him. Kifi bechinosoi, kifi chelkoi b'shashoi l'mhabo, shu bechinas toim chay raisa v'chudu kanal. Based on the where the father was at, in his share of Olam Haba, in his share in Toida, Haida, and Toim Chayrais, and all of that, therefore we trust the apotropos. Avol im lo yizocha lim nois apotropos biatzmoi. Whereas if the father was not zoicha to have the foresight or to have the opportunity to designate an apotropos himself, limsor ba'atzmoy l'apotropos seder nachlosek v'bichinosek kanal, to give over to a custodian the instructions as to exactly how he wants his estate to be administered. V'azai ha'bezden tzrichem liyos aviyosoymim, and therefore in such a case the courts have to serve as being the father in place of the father of the orphans. V'limos apotropos, and the courts have to designate an apotropos. Ki rak ha-bezn yesh lohem koyach zeh, and it's only bezn that has this authority to appoint the apotropos. Ki ha-bezn me'irin ho-emes, because bezn is one of the ones who have a monopoly on emes. They're supposed to. Ki etzlam kol hahalochos shel kol dinei u'mishpatei haTorah, because they're the ones who have the control of all the halochos and the mishpatei haTorah. They're the ones who know it the best. Sha'al yidei zeh meir hu emes kanal, and that's what makes emes shine, when a person has the knowledge of Torah and especially the knowledge of halacha. Ki zeh ikar habezn, because that's the main function of Bezin. Sheyedu kol ha-halochos. They need to know all of the halochos, that word halocha that we're emphasizing here. V'yishpetu mishpetei emes v'tzedek. And they should judge with fairness and righteousness and truthfulness. V'alkein tzrichin ha-bezin sheyiyah shloisha. This is the reason why the Torah requires a minimum of three judges for a bezin. Bechinas shloisha kavei ho-emes anal. This corresponds to the three pipes of emes that Rabbeinu Zal mentions in that chapter on Likutei Moran. Avol ha-bezin ein yicholin levar ho-emes shel kol echod kim al yidei ha-shvua. However, bezin can only determine the truthfulness of a person based on a shvua, based on the person being put up against the wall and being forced to swear. Kemay shekosuv, as the Pasuk says in Chumash, v'nikrav balabayis el ho'elikim, the litigant will come to Bezdin, and the Gemara darshins, l'shvua. He will come to swear. That's the only way they know who's telling the truth or not. Ki tekev kisheboim lodun, because as soon as a person comes to court, zehu machmas shiyesh hakhosha b'neim, it's obviously because there's a disagreement between two people. One says day and the other one says night. One says, you owe me money. The other one says, I don't owe him money. V'chol ha'akhoshois nimshach mishtifa sadomimanal. Rabbi Nosson Zal says, any time that there's a disagreement between people where they see things the opposite way, it's based on that rush of blood that we spoke about earlier, that disorder in the blood. We said that when a woman's about to give birth, the blood goes whack, either the blood rushes the heart, or any time a person's in a major crisis, mebechinas, as the pasuk says, anshei domim yisne'u tam. Men of blood hate an honest person. Tam means a simple, a straight guy. So this word anshei domim, people mean kemuva shomba Torah. Now, as Rabbeinu Zal brings in that chapter in the Keturah, that a person who has the disorder of the blood, it results in hating truth. In other words, the opposite of emes. Shekol zehu bechinas pegam toida halocha. The disorder in the blood comes from a pegam in this concept of toida or halocha that we spoke about. Pegam hamomen dikdusha, a pegam in money. Shubachinas toimcha yoraisa, the pegam in the support of Torah. Lohoilet halochas, which results in birth of halochas. Kihu makhesh bamisoi, because this person is denying what his friend is accusing him of. Shehu hapach michoze, which is the opposite of toida, halocha, toimcha yoraisa, all the things we spoke about earlier. Alkein ein habezn yechoinu levar kimai de'ashvua, and it's for this reason that bezn only has the ability to clarify the truth by forcing them to swear. Ki shvua bechinas hiskashrus kemuva, because it's brought that a shvua represents the concept of it's binding. It's something that binds. Bechinas heoras gimel kavei hoemes. Beribua hadibur, it represents the kesher between the three shafts of truth and the four quadrants of speech. In that chapter in the Kutaman, Rabbeinu Zal discusses the four basic types of speech that are mentioned in the Torah: dibur of tzedakah, dibur of ashirus, dibur of tshuva. He discusses four different areas of speech, and he says that a Jew has to see to it to shine emes into all four quadrants of dibur. So it's connecting the three to the four, the three shafts of emes, aleph, mem, tof, to the four sections of dibur. Shehu bechinas shivas yemei bereishis kemuva b'makom achar. This corresponds to the 7 days of creation, which is the combination of this emes and dibur. Shezeh bechinas shavua loshen shiva. The word shavua in Hebrew, which means to swear, corresponds to the word sheva, which means seven, because the concept of a shavua is that which is going to force the truth into the person's words. By making the person hold a Sefer Torah and telling him what's going to happen if he doesn't tell the truth now, we're hoping that that's going to really force the emes and the dibur to meet. Bechinas hiskashrus yemeachoyel yom hashvi, corresponding to the connection between the 6 days of the week and the seventh day. Shehu Shabbos, shehu bris oilam beinu bein bnei Yisrael. Shabbos represents the ultimate covenant between Hashem and the Jews. Ki Shabbos shmo dekutcha barichu, because we're told that Shabbos is the name of Hashem. Bechinas oiraisa shmo dekutcha barichu, just as we're told that the Torah is the name of Hashem. Shezeo bechinas hashvua shehu b'shem ubenekitas chayfetz shua Torah, and this is why when a person swears according to Torah law, he must swear using Hashem's name and holding a sefer Torah at the time. Ki kesheyesh hakchosho, because when there is a denial between two people, shehu pigam hoemes, which obviously shows that somebody's lying, somebody's not telling the truth. It's impossible for Bezdin to turn on the light of truth unless through a Shvua. Shekoilel kol tikune hoemes. Shvua contains in it all the tikunim of emes. Shehu heoras gimel kave hoemes beribua dibur, which includes the three lights of truth being shined into the four quadrants of speech.
Why would Bezdin indulge in having two men who differ make a shvua when they would be forcing one to be lying?
On the contrary, the assumption is, based on how it's presented in the Gemara, that despite the fact that between themselves one was able to lie to the other, And despite the fact that even when they walk into the court, they're still, each one is holding his stand powerfully, when Bezdin imposes a shvua, if you'll hear the procedure that the Gemara gives, what they do, they scare the living daylights out of both of them. Put him in a dark room with a Sefer Torah, and they tell him that when Hashem gave the Ten Commandments, nine of them didn't shake the world up. When Hashem gave the fourth commandment about swearing falsely, the whole world shook from it. And they tell the person these kind of things literally, so that if he's got any iota of truthfulness in him whatsoever, when it comes to, and they put a Sefer Torah in his hand, he'll change his mind. He'll chicken out from swearing falsely. That's the assumption in a very big way. V'alkein, therefore, you follow?
I follow, yes.
You're saying that unfortunately, based on today's level of truth and untruth, you know, people could hold six Sefer Torahs.
I digress, but a three-man Bezdin is usually one man picks the other two, as I recall. At least I witnessed it.
That's one way. That's one way that it's done. If a person has a particular rabbi, they can have him pick the other two, or the two litigants each choose one rabbi each, and those two pick a third one. There's a number of different ways. V'alkein, me'achar sheloi zocho hanifter limnoi sapotropis bi'atzmoi. Therefore, Rav Nosson Zal explains now, because of the fact that this father, supposedly, was not zoche during his lifetime to designate a custodian for his estate, v'loi heyer bi'atzmoi b'chinas o'emes shezocho levar kefi chalkoi b'toida halocha b'chinas toimchai reise kanal, he did not shine the emes that he was zoche to, which is made up of the toida halocha and all of that, into another person by designating that, by telling that person, I declare my trust in you, that you should be the one to be the custodian of this estate. And therefore he left it to Bezdin to enter into the picture, limnoi sapotropis, and to designate a custodian. Al kein hu tzorich shvua. That's why a shvua has to be made. Ki kishein ho emes mavurar b'shlemus, because when the emes isn't clear the way it's supposed to be, v'habezdin tzrich levaroi, and the burden is of responsibility is on Bezdin to clarify the emes. They can only clarify it through Shvua. If the father himself said, I designate this person to be custodian, then it shows a kesher between them, and it shows that the father trusts him, which means the father's emes is in that person. And that person has the emes that's needed to do what needs to be done here. Whereas if the father didn't do it, the father didn't shine any emes into the person, and it's up to Bezdin to determine whether this person has emes or not, the way they do that is through a shvur. That's their system.
If he didn't appoint an apotropos and one is needed, the situation that Bezdin is like when it has two litigants in
yes.
front of it, and there's
yes.
like a situation of shvichas damim. Like
not shvichas damim, but a pegam shtifas damim. Exactly.
Which
results in cloudy emes, because we saw before anshe domim yisnu tam. That's the opposite of emes.
So there's a real pagan?
An extent of pagan. Yes.
He didn't handle his affairs correctly.
Exactly. Potential pagan, if there'll be any lying, and possibly to a degree a pagan that he wasn't, because the Shulchan seems to say that the correct way and the preferred way is that the person should designate the custodian and not leave it to Bezdin. Because again, that way you avoid an unnecessary shvua, possibly, plus other problems.
But there's a pretty big assumption here that the guy's going to appoint, that his appointment is going to be completely emes.
The answer is, when someone is designating somebody, Reuven is designating Shimon to be the one to administer his estate, unless he's a total nut job, he better make sure that this is somebody he knows and trusts very, very well. That's the otherwise, why in the world are you trusting your kids' futures, you know, and other things in this person's hands? You understand?
So that would be, I mean, it seems like that would be the problem, that here's this guy with an estate, right, and he didn't take into account the future.
That's part of it. Or he wasn't zecher to make provisions for the future, which we learned before, the main provision is this toida, because that's Olam Haba. The pleasures of Olam Haba are toida, hoida, halacha, all of those things that we learned about. The definition of future in Judaism we learned was toida, hoida, halacha, remember? All of those things.
About the whole thing of bringing the neshamas into the world and how that's like the ikar thing and how important it is. So now we're talking about, now the neshamas in the world, now you have children, now have you taken it the next step and taken care of them? It really progresses.
Exactly. As we're going to see right here now. Look at the next paragraph. Hashem praising Avraham Avinu. This is what it says in the Pasuk, Ki Yedativ. This is talking about where Hashem is talking right before he's going to tell Avraham Avinu about what he intends to do for Sodom. And he's declaring his trust and respect and love for Avraham Avinu. So Hashem says, Ki Yedativ, because I know him. I know that he is going to, not only is he loyal to me, but he is going to instruct his children and all the members of his household after him. Veshamru derech Hashem, they're all going to follow the path of Hashem. Lasos tzedakah u'mishpat, to have justice and righteousness. Tzedakah is the kind chesed, and mishpat is din in a sense. Ki iker hatzavo shetzori cha'odom letzavo yisizbono vezbeisei achrov, because the most important tzavo instruction that a father has to leave for his children afterwards, hu sheyishmeru derech Hashem la'asei tzedakah u'mishpat, is to impart to them this understanding that they should be zeichet to follow this derech of tzedakah and mishpat daika, with dahainu, which means Sheyitnu tzedaka l'tamidei chachamim amitim. They should give tzedaka to true tamidei chachamim. Shemoylidin halachos, those kind of tamidei chachamim who are mishpat, who follow the halacha completely. Not just follow the halacha, but they bring forth the halacha. Shehem mishpatei haTorah, the halacha is mishpat. Teach the children tzedaka and mishpat. Teach them to give tzedaka to those who are the real mishpat, those who teach mishpat, who teach Torah properly. V'zeh b'chinas tzedakah mishpat. Haynu, tzedakah l'tamidei chachamim amitiyim, shal yodom noilodim v'nizgalin mishpatei halachas haTorah. Shezeh ikar tikun hamomoin shelzeh haniftar, shehisyageh aboy bimei chayav. This is the main tikkun for the money of this person who struggled his whole life and worked to earn this money. Shekol tikunai, his main tikun is kishayovoy hamomoy letamidei chachamim amitiyim, that his money should get into the hands of true tamidei chachamim, sheyu noilodim mehem halachos, which will use the money as a means of being the ability to study Torah and to bring forth new halachos, to teach halacha, that kind of thing. Shehem bechinas toido hoido shashu elam haba. Shelaze tzorech lichno yisato shieloi chelik b'shashu elam haba. That's what he wants to go into now. He wants to get into elam haba, and we learned earlier the things that lead to toido hoido were the supporting of the tamid chachamim who are going to bring forth the true halachos. This person who's on the threshold of trying to get into Olam Haba, and we were taught that Olam Haba is this concept of Toida Halacha, the best guarantee that he'll get in is Lemana Sheyitzave Ezbonav Ezbeisoy Laso Yitzvoko Mishpat, to give the children instruction to know how to use their money. This doesn't mean that they're not allowed to eat. This doesn't mean they're not allowed to buy ice cream. But it means that they should know what the choicest portion of their money is. That's the whole key here. Does this mean that if a Jew wants to be a real religious Jew, he should simply take all his money and give it away to a yeshiva? Wrong. That's not what it means. Because a person is supposed to live himself. However, it means that you have to know what the priorities are. You have to know that your choicest money, your best money, is that money that you're zeicher to give to tamidei chachamim amitiyim, who are involved in mishpatei haTorah, that kind of thing. That's your choicest money. And once you do that, that koshers your other money. That makes it that the money that you spend on clothing and food, all of those things, is 100% kosher, healthy, good money. This is the concept of miser, number one. You know, that a person knows any money that they earn, they take the choicest part. The first piece of money that comes out of there is used preferably for this type of purpose. To toim chayoraisa, who are moila de mishpatei emes. Now Rav Nosson Zal says, "Vezeh emes u'mishpot shalom shiftu b'sharechem." There's a pasuk in Zechariah that says, "Honesty, justice, and peace, judge in your cities." In other words, give this forth in your cities. Rav Nosson Zal explains now. Ki hadayonim tzrichim lishpoit emes. The judges have to judge with truth. Kidei lizkoi saidei zeh l'sholoim. So that they should be zeichet to bring about peace. Two people come into court, they're both angry at each other, they're enemies. And the judge has to be able to bring forth a judgment that's going to result in a sholoim. Sheyuchlalu hakoil bedeya achas. Whereby all will converge and agree to one opinion. That's another example of bringing out a oneness from among a diversification. This is why the Gemara says, Kol hadon din emes lamitoi, any judge who is zeche to judge a case with perfect truth, Nase shutef laKodesh Baruch Hu b'maisa bereishis, is considered Hashem's partner in the creation of the world. K'may shekosuv, as it says, Vayere vayvoiker yoim echod. It was night, it was morning, one day. Kiksiv yoim echod v'lo yoim rishon. It doesn't say the first day, it says day one. L'hoirois, to teach us, Shakodesh Baruch Hu yochid boilomai, that during the first day of creation, there was nothing else in existence. There was only Hashem. Hainu l'hoirois, shekol hashinuyim shebabriyo, shem b'chinas vayera vayvoyker, shekol el kol hashinuyim sheboilom. This comes to teach us that all the differences in this world, which are represented by the concept of night and day, which right away is the beginning of two. In the beginning, it was only Hashem. When Hashem created the world, right away we see Pulais Mishtanais. Suddenly there's dark and light, there's night and day, there's two already. Ki hashinui shebein yoim lelailo benor lechoyshech, hu hashinui hagodoil shebechol hashinuim. Because the difference between night and day, between light and darkness, is the epitome of difference. That's the best, the most radical example of difference. As we say in the Tfilas Marav that we say at night, uvisvuno meshana itim, that with Hashem's deep wisdom, He changes the times. Meshane, shinui, that the best example of change, of difference, is the times, night and day. You know that kind of concept. Uboze kolul kol hashinuyim horabim shebechol yom v'yom adein cheker. And in that example, in the example of the separation between night and day, that summarizes, you know, that represents all the billions of differences that there are between any given moment and another given moment. V'hakoil nivro u'miskayim b'shvil sheizgala achdus haposhut mitoch ribui pulos mishtanos daika kanal. We learned earlier that the whole purpose of creation was that from all this billions and billions of diversification should be revealed the oneness of Hashem. V'zehu v'yihi erev v'yihi voiker shem klal kol hashinuyim yoim echod. This is what the pasuk means when it says there was night and there was day. It was one day. Why doesn't it say the first day? Why doesn't it say one day? It wants to imply that night and day are really one. It really comes from one Hashem. Bechinas shehoya yochid boilomoy, hainu legalois achtusa yisporach, shehay yochid kadmoim bora koil. The main reason for creation and everything in it, including the differences, is to show, to reveal the oneness of Hashem. V'chol ha'pulos mishtanos nimshochem yichud yisporach. And that all the diversification, all the different things in this world, they all come from one Hashem. They all originate from the epitome of achdus and oneness. V'yalkein, and therefore it's for this reason that the Gemara says, hadayon hadon din emes lamitoi, a judge who is zeichet to bring forth a true judgment, The Gemara says he becomes Hashem's partner in creation. What's the connection? What does one have to do with the other? And the Gemara brings this pasuk as proof. It was night and there was day and it became one. Just like a judge who is don din emes means he brings about a compromise between two people. He gets them both to agree to accept his judgment, his psak. Rav Nosson Zal says, Ki ayidei ho emes mizgale achdus haposhut mitoch pulois mishtanois. Because through truth, this judge who brings forth the truth on which both litigants unite, that's the example of achdus haposhut being revealed from pulois mishtanois. That's what's represented in this pasuk. There's night and day. These two guys that come into court are on different ends of the spectrum. They're night and day. The judge that makes them agree to one path, to accept MS, one decision, he's accomplishing the same thing that the creation of the world was supposed to accomplish. Taking all the pulois mishtanois and bringing forth from them the achdus haposhut. Our human definition of emes is two guys come into court, one guy stole, the other guy didn't, and the only truth here is going to be if he gives him back the 100,000 gemarno, period. There are certain cases, where the emes is the pshara, where one is an oni, one is the oshir, and if the judge can get them to leave that court where the oshir is, not where he takes money away from the rich and gives it to the poor, I'm not talking about. But in certain instances, in certain ways, the judge is able to work out a compromise where the one who is totally right is willing to bend a little bit, to make an achdus between them. Because if they both walk out of there and one guy is given total right and the other guy is given total wrong, where's the achdus? Where's the achdus haposhut? Because the Gemara says, by the way, that Rav Nosson Zal doesn't say here, that the Gemara says, what does this mean, hadon din emes la'amitoi? What do you mean, emes lamoy? Is there an emes that's not lamitoy? The Gemara says, zu pshara. This refers to pshara. Ultimate emes. What is the word emes itself? The word emes itself is pshara. It's aleph. You're taking one extreme, the first, the beginning of the aleph base, and you're taking the opposite extreme, the tough, and you're bringing them together with the mem. That's what, emes is the epitome of this achdus haposhut, from pa'ulais mishtanais. The two opposites being merged together to a center.
So we're redefining the word emes completely?
Not completely. You need to know that until you will learn the whole Shulchan Aruch Chosh Mishpat, don't think you know what emes is. Emes doesn't always mean that, what do you mean, it's my money? And go, it's simple, not so simple. There are many times that the judge can show you that you thought it was yours, and I'll be told it's not yours at all whatsoever.
So the success of Achdut resulting here requires upon a very sharp judge.
Of not just sharp, an emes, there has to be a knowledge of Mishka, of the Torah, and there has to be a kesher to Hashem, who is the ultimate emes.
It's very easy to find some.
Ah, for sure.